College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in this show, we will be joined by the Vertical's Chris Mannix to talk 2017 NBA draft. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/CHToday and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. And as we mentioned, this will be a heavy breakdown of the 2017 NBA draft, and Chris Mannix from The Vertical is going to give us more of the NBA side of things heading into Thursday night's draft at the Barclays Center. But from a college perspective, and I don't want to fancy myself as an NBA guy because I'm not. I cover college basketball 52 weeks out of the year. But the one thing you learn as you look at the NBA, especially in the playoffs, is that in order to be a team that competes at the highest level, you have to have a key cog at the lead guard position, and that's what you saw in the postseason. Cleveland had Kyrie Irving, Golden State obviously had Steph Curry, and then you look around the league in other places. Boston had Isaiah Thomas, Portland had Damian Lillard, and I think right now when you look at the theme of this 2017 NBA draft, there are guys right now at the top of the board that can be dominant lead guards in the NBA for a long time. Washington's Markelle Fultz, UCLA's Lonzo Ball, NC State's Dennis Smith, De'Aaron Fox of Kentucky, and also Frank Ntilikina from France are five guys that are projected to be in the top 10 who have a legitimate chance to be bona fide lead guards at the NBA level, guys who can be the face of the franchise at the most important position on the floor. Where will these guys fall? Who will take them Thursday night at the Barclays Center? We'll get into that and more with Chris Mannix from The Vertical coming up next on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. The 2017 NBA draft is Thursday night at the Barclays Center, and The Vertical will be putting on its second annual NBA draft show along with Adrian Wojnarowski, former Indiana head coach Tom Crean, and a slew of others. Chris Mannix from The Vertical is the host of that show, and he's kind enough to join the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Chris, what are the thoughts going into this show in year two versus maybe a year ago before you guys had yet to move forward with this venture?
Well, I mean, it certainly is a little bit more comfortable doing it. First time around, we did four solid hours, and we didn't even incorporate bathroom breaks in there, which was interesting for a while. It's great to be on set with these guys. I mean, Tom Crean was the most prepared analyst I'd ever worked with, really was. And I know he's excited about being back here. He'll be in New York over the next couple of days, and should be a ton of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
What are the biggest things maybe that you learned from going through it last year that you guys might tweak or add in terms of new elements or changes?
We talked about that over the weekend. I don't know that we're going to change a heck of a lot. I mean, we're not the traditional kind of television show. I mean, we're not beholden to commercials. We're certainly not beholden to the draft with Woj and with Shams Charania. We're generally a pick, two picks, sometimes even three picks ahead of the actual draft. So we're just going with the flow. As soon as we have the information, we're putting it out there and we're breaking it down and we're going through it. So I don't think we're changing a lot of it. We really liked the format of it last year, the free-flowing elements to it last year. Maybe we'll do more interviews with some of the top guys early on in this process. But other than that, we're going to keep it largely the same.
You know, Chris, you've done a lot of things in your career. You obviously host a national radio show every day. You've been a writer for a long time. You also do a lot of boxing work. I'm curious, how does the anxiety and the pressure of hosting something that is live during one of the most action-packed nights of the year compare to some of the other tasks that you've had during your career?
It's a different animal altogether. And I warn the producers of the show ahead of time. I tell them to stay out of my ear. Don't try to guide me in a typical kind of show way where you break things up into blocks. I mean, we're just all kind of going to be up there just talking. I mean, my bread and butter is as an analyst anyway. I don't know as much about the draft as obviously Tom Crean does. The guys from Draft Express are there, and they're well versed in all this. If you try to box me into kind of this, like, go from segment A to segment B to segment C, that's just not going to work out for anybody. So I've been lucky enough to kind of be given the latitude to just, kind of go up there and riff and occasionally we take some breaks to move things along, but they just let me go up there and do our thing. And I think it lends itself to more of a almost a barroom conversation than it is any type of formatted TV show.
The Vertical's Chris Mannix joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Chris will host a show, which we are talking about Thursday night online with Adrian Wojnarowski, Tom Crean, and a host of others during the 2017 NBA draft. Chris, I never fancy myself as an NBA guy, but the theme from my perspective for this draft is that you have multiple lead guards that are capable of anchoring a franchise in the top 10. What do you think the theme is of the NBA draft in 2017 from your perspective?
Well, it's point guards, and like you said, there's a lot of lead guards that could go drafted inside that top 10. This might be the deepest point guard class that I've seen in a while, especially at the top. I mean, potentially franchise guards. I mean, when I talk to NBA GMs, there's palpable excitement about the future of Dennis Smith, the kid from France, whose name I constantly butcher on the back end. These guys are all viewed as, potential starters, in the very short term, really. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see where some of these guys fall. I think we'll have, it's almost a guarantee we have three point guards drafted inside the top five. We might have four inside the top seven. And certainly, like I said, four or five inside that top 10. So I think this is going to be one of those draft classes where the point guards are inextricably linked. You have to go back to maybe 2009 and Steph Curry, where Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio and Curry were all drafted within that top seven. I think to find a group of point guards that will be linked together as closely as these guys will.
You wrote a column that was a great read over the weekend on The Vertical about how Danny Ainge will always now be tied to this projected trade between Boston and Philadelphia. This is somebody who is, has the perspective of somebody outside the NBA, but from the periphery, it feels like Danny Ainge's preference is to stockpile assets sometimes rather than land the marquee player. Why do you think that's where his compass points more often than not?
I'd love to know the answer to that, because in every other circumstance, it's made sense. Making the deals he made back in 2012 and 2013 to break up the team and get the assets that he did. I mean, there's no question that the deals he made for Pierce and Garnett and Rondo and Doc Rivers, just first-round picks galore, it was as masterful a rebuilding job as you're ever going to see. Now, that made sense. This one doesn't. And you know more about Markelle Fultz, John, than I do. But everybody I talk to across the league, believes he is a pure franchise player. That he's the kind of guy that comes along once every 10 years or so, and you absolutely pick and you build around. For the life of me, I can't understand why trading for a first-round pick next year, which could be the Laker pick, but probably not, given that the Lakers may wind up getting Paul George this offseason, and that pick could be better than the 2 through 5 that Boston has protected, or the 2019 Sacramento Kings pick, which I assume will still be a good pick, but 2 years away, you never know what could happen with Sacramento. I don't understand this deal one bit. I don't know what they gain from it in passing on a player like Markelle Fultz for really just one more good to potentially a very good draft pick.
Now, the other side of this is obviously Philadelphia, and Philadelphia finally seeing the fruits of, you know, labor. Now, Sam Hinkie is not the general manager anymore. Brian Colangelo is the general manager. But as we start to see Philadelphia fans finally have something tangible to get excited about, how much was Sam Hinkie right in the way that he was aiming to build this franchise?
Well, I mean, it's a debatable point, because there will still be people that believe that, you know, stripping this franchise down and making it a complete laughing stock for multiple years will never be the right way to go. Now, I understand what they're feeling, but I look at this team right now with that front court and with the potential to add Markelle Fultz to the mix and the potential to add other players moving forward with their draft picks. I mean, even if Philly makes this deal, which seems, you know, likely to be happening, even if they make this deal, they still have a whole plethora of draft picks that they can, you know, choose from moving forward to keep building this team with their own picks and other teams' picks. And I don't know, nothing is for certain. And you know, certainly Joel Embiid has to prove he can stay on the floor. But I look at a Fultz, Embiid, Ben Simmons, Dario Saric front court. Or I don't know how that's – I don't know how you miss with that. I don't know how in the next 3 years that's not, you know, a team that's prepared to compete for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. To me, that's a new version of what Oklahoma City was early in its career. I think they have the potential to win 50 great games within the next 2 or 3 years. And from there, if they stay together, the sky really is the limit. So I know that the Hinkie experiment was painful, but the end result is you really can't argue with.
Chris Mannix from The Vertical joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Chris will host a show with Adrian Wojnarowski, Tom Crean, and a slew of others online during the 2017 NBA draft on Thursday night. So you want to obviously follow social media for ways to check that out. We have talked about some teams at the top of the lottery. In your opinion right now, which lottery team has the most pressure on it heading into Thursday night?
Well, I think it's the Lakers. You know, they have to get this pick right. And, you know, look, I think Lonzo Ball is going to be the guy. You know, Rob Pelinka, the GM there, is a former agent, and he's used to kind of throwing chum in the water and seeing what happens if they, you know, with speculation, trade offers. And certainly it's an interesting time to be a Laker executive because of what they have with the potential Paul George deal happening either before the draft or maybe soon thereafter. But that's a pick they've got to get right. They've got some decent young talent on the roster. I mean, D'Angelo Russell is solid. Julius Randle is solid. Brandon Ingram might be better than solid, but I don't know if there's a franchise player in that mix. They need to find themselves young franchise player here, because whether it's Ball or Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum, one of these guys, I think we both can agree, is probably going to become an elite player. And the Lakers have to make sure that when they make this pick, they get it right.
Chris, you know, you mentioned obviously the Lakers having some pressure on them, and we've talked about Boston. You know, I remember listening to an interview when I first got in the business, and it was when Doc Rivers took the Celtics job, and he said, well, there's three jobs you would leave broadcasting for: the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Knicks. And again, this is totally just from somebody from the periphery, but it seems like that the Celtics and the Lakers at least have assets to deal with, and the Knicks rarely do. That is not the case on Thursday night. Where do you see their compass pointed with the eighth pick?
Well, I think they're looking at a point guard, and it would surprise me if they didn't take one of the combination of Dennis Smith or Frank, the kid from France there. I mean, I think that's the direction they're going. They're not going to re-sign Derrick Rose. He's not going to be back. And I think the way it's been interpreted to me over the last, you know, week or so is that it's almost like whatever point guard looks the best playing in that triangle system, they're going to go with. Now, it's a little bit loony that they're hell bent on finding a triangle point guard and playing it in that way, but I think that's the way they're going to go. They need to find themselves a franchise point guard to play alongside Kristaps Porzingis in the long term, and that's a pretty good spot for a point guard, because there could be at least two, maybe three, that are sitting there available to them in that position. But this is a huge draft for Phil Jackson. I mean, he got it right a couple of years ago with Porzingis. He's been able to wheel and deal the last couple of years without giving up the draft picks that Isaiah Thomas did during his tenure. He's got to really hit a home run here, and that's a difficult place to be in, that eighth overall spot, because there really isn't a consensus guy at that position.
Well, that brings me to my next question. If Dennis Smith is not on the board at 8 and the Knicks don't go with the kid from France that seems to be getting a lot of buzz, which way do you think that they'll turn?
Well, I mean, there's a good question. I mean, I don't know that they have a short list for, an obvious choice there. Markkanen's a possibility, I think, is what a name that I've heard come up a couple of times. I'm going through my head. Donovan Mitchell, I think they like a little bit at that position. Jonathan Isaac is the one guy that his name comes up a lot, and I'm hearing him as maybe the fastest riser in that board. He's the one guy I'm watching, John, that could wind up in the top five as well. But if he slips down or stays in that area where he's available at number 8, that's somebody I think the Knicks could look strong at too.
You know, Jonathan Isaac's a versatile player. He played the 4 at Florida State and has kind of that face-up game, and that's really a byproduct of really the way basketball has changed. How much have the new NBA rules and really the rules in basketball in general, which focus more on shooting and spacing from the 4 position, affected what we're going to see, not just obviously in this draft, but moving forward?
Oh, it's huge because, you know, now everybody wants, either a face-up shooter who can develop into a three-point shooter eventually or a three-point shooter now. The value in like a Zach Collins is that he can eventually turn maybe into a stretch five down the line. I mean, being able to shoot from, beyond 18 feet is becoming an invaluable commodity. I mean, we're really witnessing what I think is a complete renaissance or changing of the guard and what power forwards and centers are becoming. We saw it in the fledgling stages of it this past year when guys like Marc Gasol and Brook Lopez, traditional big men who never shot threes in their lives, at least in games, were jacking up 4 or 5 per game. I mean, you're looking, every team out there is looking for, big men at 4 or 5 and consistently make threes. And that's the type of player that I think the Knicks and other teams are really going to be looking for.
You know, you always try to project teams with activity and the ability to move up. You know, it's noted that Portland has 3 first-round picks. Is that a team that you've labeled and your team has labeled? Obviously, that could be the most active in terms of trying to trade up to the latter part of the lottery.
Yeah, there's no question the Trailblazers want to be active there. I mean, the Knicks have been after one of their first-round picks in a deal. The Blazers are willing to give up a pick, but they want something back in terms of a player as a sweetener. I also could see Neil Olshey, packaging these picks to try to get a franchise player. I mean, I really am interested to see what happens with Paul George in this circumstance. Not to say the Blazers are a destination for him necessarily, but I think there are going to be a whole bunch of teams out there that are willing to give up significant assets to take Paul George on as a rental. This is why there's some pressure on the Lakers to make a deal for him now as opposed to waiting for free agency. There's no question Paul George wants to be in Los Angeles, but the risk they run is that he goes to another team. He winds up liking that location. He winds up liking the winning that goes on at that location. So a team like the Blazers with all its draft picks, the Cavs, we've talked about the Celtics, certainly I expect to be in that mix. There are a bunch of teams out there that I think could try to put together some kind of a rebuilding package that could interest Indiana and take a chance on Paul George for 1 year.
Final thing, Chris, and it's obviously the elephant in the room when it comes to this draft. You know, I know a lot of people have gotten a taste of Lonzo Ball and his family over the last month to 6 weeks that were obviously immersed in the NBA. But the storyline last year in college basketball was the renaissance of UCLA, and the renaissance of UCLA was all because of one person. And I have been really, strongly opinionated in the fact where that if people are continuing to insinuate that if LeVar Ball is going to inhibit Lonzo Ball at the next level, that, those people hadn't watched UCLA last season. Why do you think that this kid, who, again, single-handedly turned around one of college basketball's most fabled programs, isn't getting the type of buzz that maybe was warranted by what he showed last season?
I don't know. And maybe it's all just going to turn out to be much ado about nothing, because as I said, I really think the Lakers are strong favorites to take him. The LeVar Ball stuff, the next GM that tells me that LeVar Ball would bother them will be the first GM to tell me that. They're just, isn't a fear amongst executives that I've talked to that LaVar Ball is going to be any kind of negative impact, that he's going to be any kind of distraction for Lonzo. Obviously, he's, I don't know if he's unique, but he's rare amongst parents and how outspoken he's been. And in today's media age where, you know, everybody's everywhere, that could be potentially problematic. But teams just aren't worried about what he brings to the table in this mix. And, yeah, sure, I mean, there's been concerns about the shot of Lonzo Ball. It's a pretty good percentage shot, but it's an ugly one that they may try to change at some point during his career. But I think teams are really, you know, high on him. I think there just is kind of an understanding that the Lakers are probably going to take him with that second overall pick. So maybe they're not talking about him as much as they are De'Aaron Fox, who could go anywhere from number three to number five, or Dennis Smith, who's, you know, whose sort of questionable season at NC State with the issues, the maturity issues that linger out there, bring to the table. I mean, there's just a widespread belief that he is going to go number two. So it's one of those things that maybe people aren't talking about because they know they don't need to talk about him.
Chris, great stuff as always. And again, that's Chris Mannix from The Vertical. He'll be hosting a show Thursday night online. Check out social media along with Adrian Wojnarowski, Tom Crean, and a host of others. Something you definitely want to check out and have streaming on Thursday night. Chris, best of luck with the show and best of luck with free agency in July.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, John.
We'd like to thank The Vertical's Chris Mannix for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet, and right now, they are currently offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/CH today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more. Handpicked and continuously refreshed, you can even switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including Amazon's Kindle and Echo, without ever losing your place or missing a word. So visit audible.com/CH today to enjoy a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/CH today. And right now it's time for the social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them right now. Matt John Rothstein, that's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Wilson. It's John, who is your favorite sleeper in the 2017 NBA draft? And look, there's a lot of sleepers that I identified, but I really think right now the kid Terrence Ferguson from Australia, the guy who was supposed to go to Arizona last year, has great potential as a 3-and-D guy. This guy has in the gym range as soon as he steps foot in the gym, lights out three-point shooter, also a willing defender. I like Terrence Ferguson from Australia. Our next question comes from Sam, and it's, John, do you think LaVar Ball is inhibiting Lonzo Ball? And look, Sam, my answer is this. Anybody who right now thinks that LaVar Ball is inhibiting Lonzo Ball at the next level is in a situation where they did not watch UCLA last season. I remind people all the time, before Lonzo Ball got to UCLA, 15 wins and then 31 following his arrival, career season for Bryce Alford, averaging career highs in field goal percentage and three-point field goal percentage. Now we've got you set with your social media needs. Let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the Zach Attack. The most underrated player in the lottery for this NBA draft, Gonzaga's Zach Collins, averages 10-6-2 in 17 minutes a game. Gonzaga played 39 games last year and 28 of them. Collins shot 60% or better from the field. Nugget number two, DuckTales. The triumvirate from Oregon, Tyler Dorsey, Jordan Bell, Dylan Brooks, all projected, according to league sources, between 28 and 40. Nugget number three, the forgotten Blue Devil. That's Frank Jackson. A lot of people forgetting about Frank Jackson. I personally think that if we didn't see so many point guards, as I discussed on the top of this podcast, being mentioned among the top 10 picks, Frank Jackson would have a bigger buzz heading into the NBA draft. Nugget number four, Mitchell Rising. That's Louisville's Donovan Mitchell. This guy is really in a situation right now where he's climbing up draft boards. The sophomore showed major strides last year in his internal skill development, made 18 three-point shots as a freshman, hit 80 as a sophomore. I'm hearing he may not slide past Charlotte at number 11. And want to remind everybody that starting next week, we will begin our summer conference preview. Previews, we will break down one conference each week right here from soup to nuts starting next week with the Big East. We'd like to thank the Vertical's Chris Mannix for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.